ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Repeat after me. Vasudevendrayogindram, Vasudevendrayogindram, Nattvajnanapradangurum, Nattvajnanapradangurum, Mumukshunam hitarthaya, Tattvabodho vidhiyate, Tattvabodho vidhiyate. Karna shariram kim, anirvacha, anadi, anadi, avidya, avidya, rupam, rupam, shariratvayasya, Karna matram, sat swarupa jnanam, nirvikalpa rupam, yadasti, yadasti, tat karanam shariram. Last week, we looked at the Karana Sharira. We looked at the Stula Sharira, Sukshma Sharira, and now we see the Karana Sharirat Vyatiriktaha Atma, that I am separate, I am distinct from the Karana Sharira. And we saw that the cause is Nirvikalpa, and the effect is Savikalpa. A cause is unmanifest. The divisions, the vikalpas, are not perceptible in a cause. And the effect is savikalpa, the divisions are perceptible, are differentiated. And so if we can imagine a condition where the stula and sukshma sharira are unmanifest, that is the karana sharira. And we looked at the example of a seed, a mango, or a redwood tree, seed, that in a sense either is a product of Bhagavan's super duper compression algorithm, or it contains the complete instruction set for the growing of a redwood or a mango tree. And that if you look at the seed itself, the cause, there is no differentiation. There is nothing that we can see in the cause that looks like the effect, the karya. But in fact, what's happening is that the process of creation is a differentiation of what's inherent in the cause. Creation is a manifestation of what's inherent in the cause, from the unmanifest state to the manifest state. And it is anirvacha anadi avidya rupam, Sharira Tvayasya Karana Matram, Sarupa Ajnanam, Nirvikalpa Rupam, Yat Asti Tat Karana Shariram. So Tat Karana Shariram, that is the Karana Shariram, which is Yat Asti, Anirvacha Anadi Avidya Rupam, Sharira Tvayasya Karana Matram, Sat Sarupa Ajnanam, and Nirvikalpa Rupam. Avidya is the karana shariram. Ignorance is the causal body, not the casual body, the causal body. It is a cause and it is a body. It's called a sharira because it's responsible for a certain experience. We'll see that it's responsible for the deep sleep experience and is the cause of the other two bodies. It is the cause for the other two bodies because ignorance is the cause of the sense of individuality, which manifests as the sukshma sharira and the stula sharira. Now, One way to look at this avidya rupam technically is that avidya and maya shakti are often used synonymously. And it can be a bit confusing because maya is the creative capacity, creative shakti, the creative power of Bhagavan, of the Lord. So how can that be avidya? Well, the difference is that from the perspective of the vyashti, from the individual, there is a concealing and a projecting power, the avarana shakti and the kshepa shakti. But from the samashti perspective, from the totality, from Bhagavan's perspective, there's just the creative capacity. There is no ignorance. In fact, this entire creation is a manifestation of knowledge. So sometimes these avidya and maya are used interchangeably, but they're really the same thing from two different perspectives, from the perspective of the individual and from the perspective of Ishvara. And sometimes this avidya is called aksharam, avyaktam, maya, prakriti. And this avidya, this karana sharira, is mithya. It's anirvacha. We saw that vacha means something which can be described, which can be stated. Nirvacha is something which can be categorically stated. And anirvacha is something which cannot be categorically stated. Cannot be categorically stated to be what? To be sat or asat. We can't say that the karana sharira is asat, is tucham, is non-existent, because we're experiencing the effects. We're constantly experiencing the sukshma stula sharira. We can't say it is sat because it is negated in the wake of knowledge. Ignorance, this avidya rupa karana sharira, we can't say it is sat because it has an end, and we can't say that it is asat because we experience it. We can't say it's totally not real because we experience avidya and it creates problems because I take myself to be a limited being. So it has some reality, apparently. So we can't say it's non-existent. And we can't say it's existent because it has an end. So it is anirvacha. It is mithya. Anirvacha. It cannot categorically be said to be real or unreal. And it's a bit mysterious. The closer you get to the true causes of things, the more, in a sense, mysterious things become. You look at quantum mechanics. Is it a particle? Is it a wave? An electron can be in two different places at the same time. So it becomes a bit mysterious as you get closer to the actual more subtle causes of creation. And the tatparya of Vedanta is not to completely explain or analyze ignorance or the products of it, but to identify what it is we're ignorant of, which is namely the Atma. So this avidya is anadi because we can't trace back the beginning of ignorance. Vridhiradaich, this Vyakarana Sutra, this grammar aphorism, we didn't know it before, and now we know it. When did ignorance of the aphorism begin? It's beginningless. When did it end? Oh, last week or this week, depending on which class you're in. So you can look at three categories of things. Some things are sadhi and santa. So adi means beginning, anta means end. Something which has a beginning is called sadhi, and something which has an end is called santa. So what is sadhi and santa? What has a beginning and what has an end? Everything around us. There's nothing that's in time which does not have a beginning and an end. Every nama rupa we have has a beginning and an end. There's one thing which is anadi and ananta, something which has no beginning, has no end, and that's you. That is sat chit ananda, satyam jnanam anantam brahma. It has no beginning and no end because it's on a different level of reality than time. Time depends upon Brahman. Brahman does not depend upon time. Time is in reference to change. There's no parts within Brahman to change. It's like trying to take a knife and cut space. You can't. They just don't relate. There's just no way one can touch the other. So too, time does not touch Brahman. It is beyond even the concept of time. And so it is considered to be, have no beginning and no end. And then there's one thing which is anadi and santa, one thing which has no beginning but has an end, and that is ignorance. This karana sharira is also swarupa ajnanam, characterized by ignorance of one's own nature. Swarupa is one's true nature. Sat swarupa, sat again can be taken separately, or sat swarupa ajnanam, one's true nature, the ignorance, ajnanam, of one's true nature. And we have ignorance of everything. When you look at any specific thing, it opens up huge vistas of ignorance in terms of its details. You know what a flower is, but you know what the petals are, the stamen or the pistil, or the pollen. There's just endless ignorance, even if we have a little bit of knowledge. So the main thing, the tatparya here, is self-ignorance. And so that's why it's mentioned the swarupa ajnanam. And that swarupa ajnanam, the ignorance of oneself, is the basis, is the karana sharira, is the cause of the other two bodies. And he mentions two aspects of avidya. He says, swarupa ajnanam and sharira dvayasya karana matram. So swarupa ajnanam is the ignorance of oneself, and the sharira dvayasya karana matram is merely being the cause of the twofold body. Remember, avidya has two powers. It has avarana shakti, the capacity to hide, and vikshepa shakti, the capacity to project. So when he mentions specifically swarupa ajnanam, he's referring to the avarana shakti rupa avidya. He's referring to the avarana shakti, the avidya, which is in the form of the capacity to conceal. That is swarupa ajnanam, which is the karana shariram. And then when he says sharira dvayasya karana matram, being the karanam, the cause for the twofold bodies, for the stula and sukshma sharira, he's referring to the vikshepa shakti, rupa avidya, the power of avidya to project this creation. Kind of a technical point there, but it's interesting to note that. The experience that I get due to this karana sharira is deep sleep, which we'll talk about later on, probably this evening, and the sense that I am ignorant, because it is of the very nature of ignorance. And remember, why are we looking at these three bodies? This is the end of the description of the three bodies, the stula, sukshma, akarana, sharirat, yatiriktaha, atma, aham, asmi. I am separate from these. I am separate, distinct from the physical body, from the mental, from the subtle body, and even from the karana, from the cause of those. So when I live my life, if I am alert and the I thought falls on any of those in a meaningful way, that's an opportunity for vichara. In a casual way, when you say, I am hungry, what does that mean? It means that I am one of my pranas, right? I'm tired. I'm the body. I'm agitated. I'm the mind. I'm distracted. I'm decisive. I'm indecisive. All of those can happen fine. If I take myself to be any of those specific forms or activities, the sensations, the thoughts, the intentions, the desires, then I need to look at that a little more closely, because I am vyatiriktaha. I am distinct from all those. Those are not separate from me. They don't have a life away from me. I am the conscious being which informs all those experiences of the stula and sukshma sharira, but I am not defined by them. They are objects of my cognition. Do I need to remove these to realize the Atma? If I am not the sukshma sharira, the stula sharira, the karana sharira, do I need to remove those to realize the truth of myself? Like uncovering, taking the lid off of something and uncovering it, unwrapping a present. It's a little like saying, I need to remove the wave to see the water. I don't need to remove the wave to see the water. the water is never separate from the wave. The water is manifest through and through the wave. This physical body, this sukshma sharira, this karana sharira, are all non-separate from Atma. And yet I am not limited by them. So in a sense, you could say Atma is manifest and transcendent. I don't like to use those words too much, but it's manifest as this individual in these three aspects, but it's also transcendent because it's vyaktiriktaha. It is separate from all of these. So that wraps up the three bodies, the analysis of the three bodies. And now, in the original definition of Atma, he next mentions the panchakoshas, the five sheaths, if you will. But in the text, what he takes next is the avastatraya sakshi, is the statement that Atma is the witness to the three states of experience. So why does he do that? He does that because there's a very nice, neat correlation between the three bodies and the three states of experience, as we'll see. So let us see. Avastatrayam kim, avastatrayam kim, jagrat svapna sushupti avastaha, jagrat svapna sushupti avastaha. Kim avastatrayam? What is this avastatrayam? Because he says Atma is avastatraya sakshi. If you remember back at the original definition, it is the witness of the three states of experience. So what are the three states of experience? Traya means a triad, the triad of states, states of experience. Avastha just means a state, but here it's specifically referring to a state of experience. And he says, Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti, Avastaha. The three states of experience are Jagrat, Swapna, and Sushupti, waking, dream, and deep sleep. And I, as Sakshi, am the witness as pure consciousness in reference to these states, am the witness. I never wake because I never sleep, because I never dream. And yet there is no dreaming, there is no sleeping, there is no waking without me. I am the in the waker. I am the in the sleeper. I am the in the dreamer. There's no dreamer without a conscious being, which is me. But these three states are mutually exclusive. I am awake. When I'm awake, I'm not dreaming. When I'm in deep sleep, I'm not dreaming. When I'm in deep sleep, I'm not waking. These bump each other out. These elbow each other out. Hey, move over. I want to go to sleep. Hey, move over. I want to dream. Three distinct states of experience. This one being who is present in all three is the Atma, is consciousness. So this prakriya, this avastatraya sakshi prakriya, is referencing the Mandukya Upanishad. The Mandukya Upanishad, very short Upanishad. Om ityetad aksharam idam sarvam tasyopa vyakhyanam bhutam bhavad bhavishad ityadi. It looks at Brahman from the perspective of Omkara, from the syllable Om, and it's said to be chatushpat. It's said to be fourfold. And there's some confusion about this. Om has three sounds, a, u, and ma, akara, ukara, and makara, om. Now, it's not aum, because a plus u in Sanskrit is o, it's om. But when you break it up for analytical purposes, you can see that the o, the diphthong o, is actually a plus u. It's not aum, the word is om. And it's a name of Brahman. It's a name of Brahman. And it's said to be all of this. And it's said to encompass all of our experience, because this omkara, the syllable om, is packed with this meaning. And the meaning is that akara stands for the waking state, ukara stands for the dreaming state, and makara stands for the deep sleep state. But that's only three. You said it was fourfold, like four legs or four quarters of a dollar. So is there a fourth state, turiya? So people get confused because you say, oh, I need to experience this fourth state. I need to rid myself of all these three. I need to transcend. I need to become different. I need to experience this fourth state because that's the truth of my nature. Do I need to remove water? Do I need to remove a wave to experience water? Do I need to remove ocean to experience water? Do I need to remove the ringness or the bangleness or the braceletness, the necklaceness to experience gold, to know gold? No, because there's only one there's only one being, there's only one consciousness in all of these three states of experience, and that is Turiya. Because if I get rid of the mind, all the thoughts, that doesn't bring me knowledge of the truth of myself. That just brings me an empty mind. And then when I come back, when the thoughts come back, I'm just as ignorant as I was before. It's knowledge that needs to shine the light and remove the ignorance. So this idea of a fourth state of consciousness is not in line with what the Upanishad says. This truth of oneself is consistent and uninterruptible. No blinking eyelids throughout these three states. So you can't think of it more as the silence in which an omkara arises and resolves. When you chant om, 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 it's pluta, right? So grammatically, there's krastva, dirga, and pluta. There's a short vowel, there's a long vowel, and then there's an extra long vowel. And that omkara is pluta, it's an extra long vowel. So om, om. That omkara arises from silence and resolves back into silence, which is just consciousness. But it doesn't really displace silence, because only in the context of silence can sound occur. So too, it's only in the context of awareness that an awarer, a waker, a sleeper, a dreamer can occur. So this prakriya, this avastatraya sakshitvam, the state of being a sakshi to the three states of experience, comes directly from that Upanishad. Jagrat avastaka, jagrat avastaka, shrotradi, shrotradi, jnanendriyahi, jnanendriyahi, shabdadi vishayaha, shabdadi vishayaha, nyayante, nyayante, ityat, ityat, sa jagrat avastha, sa jagrat avastha, stula sharira, stula sharira, abhimani atma, abhimani atma, vishwaha iti, vishwaha iti, uchate, uchate. I hope you don't mind, I'm breaking the sandhi here just so you can see the discrete words. Sometimes it doesn't match exactly what's written here because the sandhi coalesces and brings together some sounds, but I hope it's useful. So jagrat avastha ka, ka, strilinga, feminine. What is the jagrat avastha? The word avastha is feminine. So the interrogative pronoun ka is feminine. Jagrat avastha. What is the jagrat avastha? Very simple. Shrotradi jnanendriyahi shabdadi vishayaha jnayante iti yat sa jagrat avastha. The jagrat avastha, the waking state, is that yasyam, in which, yat, yat stands for yasyam, in which, it's a feminine locative relative pronoun, yasyam. That avastha, that waking avastha, is that in which the shabdadi vishayaha, the objects of the senses, the vishayaha, such as shabda, etc., such as sound, etc., are jnayante, are experienced, are known, by the shrotradi jnanendriyahi, by the jnanendriyas, by the senses sense capacities, such as shrotra, etc., such as the ear, etc. So the senses are shrotram, tvak, chakshu, rasana, granam. The ears, the skin, the eyes, the tongue, and the nose, and they experience shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. They experience the sound, etc. So this is just a pretty straightforward definition of what our waking experience is. And then he goes on to say, sthula sharira abhimani atma vishwaha iti uchate. So this atma, this self, which is has the abhimana, has the association, has the identification with the gross body, with the physical body, sthula sharira abhimani atma, vishwaha iti uchate, is called vishwaha. This also includes pranas, this also includes the karmendriyas, this also includes not just the physical body, but it also includes the abhimana, the identification, the association with the sukshma sharira and the karana sharira. So the waking state, one is a complete, fully manifest individual. The jivatvam is fully manifest. And that's what vishwa means. It means complete. And so there's this identification with all three bodies. But it's said that one is identified with the stula sharira. Well, it doesn't make sense. You know, we're not just identified with the stula sharira. I mean, he even says that it's through the sukshma sharira that we're experiencing the physical objects in the world. But it's like saying, well, I wear a sweater in the winter. It doesn't mean that you don't wear pants and a shirt and a hat. It just means that that's the primary characteristic of that state of experience of being out in the middle of New England during a blizzard that they had just the other day. So it's just a predominant characteristic, but it's identification, association with all three. So this atma identified with the physical gross body is the waker, and it's considered fully dressed because it has the identification with all three of these bodies. So please note that it's only in this waking state that we are both a karta and a bhokta. So these are two fundamental notions we have about ourselves. We can take ourselves to be all these attributes of the mind and emotions and senses and pranas and body and all their attributes, etc. But the two core ideas we have about ourselves as individuals is we are karta and a bhokta. We are a doer and we are an experiencer. We are a doer and we are an enjoyer. A karta means a doer, and a bhokta means an enjoyer or experiencer. And it's only in the waking state that we express both of those. In the dream state, we'll see we're not a karta, we're not an agent. It's only in the waking state can we generate punya and papam. It's only in the waking state that we have that capacity to make decisions and do actions and create results and experience this punya and papa and create new. And it's only in this waking state that we can pursue moksha. So, am I the waker? Am I the waker? I appear to be awake. Hopefully I'm awake. I might not be the waker. I am the in the waker. The waker is me, but I am not the waker. The waker is pushed out of the way by the dreamer, who's pushed out of the way by the sleeper. Those states are mutually exclusive, and yet I am excluded from none of them. None of them would exist without me. Let's go on to the swapna avastha. Swapna avastha ka iti chet. Swapna avastha ka iti chet. Jagrat avasthayam. Jagrat avasthayam. Yat drishtam. Yat drishtam. Yat shrutam. Yat shrutam. Tat janita. Tat janita. Vasanaya. Vasanaya. Nidra samaye. Nidra samaye, yaf prapanchaha, pratiyate, pratiyate, sa swapna avastha, sa swapna avastha, sukshma sharira, sukshma sharira, abhimani atma, abhimani atma, taijasaha iti uchyate, taijasaha iti uchyate. So along these same lines, he starts talking about the dream state. Now, he does something interesting here. He says, swapna avastha ka iti chet. All along, the student has been sitting in the front row center, looking at the teacher, asking all these pertinent questions, right? You can imagine this bright student asking these questions, saying, all right, what is the nature? What is the nature of the Atma? What is Vairagya? What is the Stula Sharira? What is the Sukshma Sharira? What is the Karana Sharira? What is the waking state? And finally, the teacher anticipates his question and says, iti chet, if you ask, swapna avastha ka, if you ask, what is the dream state, I'm going to tell you. A little stylistic difference there. Iti chet means if. Iti puts what comes before it in quotes. So swapna avastha ka, what is the swapna avastha iti chet, if you ask that, he says, jagrat avasthayam yat drishtam yat shrutam tat janita vasanaya nidra samaye yav prapanchaha pratiyate sa swapna avastha. Sa, that swapna avastha, is the dream state. Yaha prapancha pratiyate. Yaha prapancha pratiyate. The dream state is a state of experience of the world projected by the impressions gathered in the waking state. Prapanchaha means a world, an experience. Yaha prapanchaha, that experience, pratiyate, which is known, which is experienced, that world which is experienced, nidrasamaye, during sleep, nidrasamaye, at the time of sleep, jagrat avasthayam yat drishtam yat shrutam. Yat shrutam, that which is heard, yat drishtam, that which is seen, jagrat avasthayam, in the waking state, those things which are heard, those things which are seen in the waking state, through the vasanas, born of the memory of those, that world at the time of sleep, which is experienced, that is the swapna avastha. Is that making sense? So the swapna avastha is that which, due to the vasanas, we'll talk about vasanas, which are born from the experiences in the waking state and projected in the dream state, that's the world of our dream experience. So vasana is an impression, a memory. It can be called a vasana, it can be called a chittam, memory, a smriti, samskara. And it is the impressions, the memories, which are gathered during the waking state and are in a sense remembered, reconstructed in the dream state. But it seems to be a lot more than that, right? It seems to be that there's a whole world that's created through previous experiences, through the remembrance of the previous experiences that seem to be completely real. Svakale satyavat bhati. In its own time, it seems to be real. They're projected. This prapancha, this dream world, is projected. And prabodhe satya sat bhavet. When upon awakening, we see that the dream world is not real. It's just a projection of our own minds. That is called sukshma sharira abhimani atma taijasaha iti uchyate. So that being is called taijasaha, the jiva, the atma, which has an identification with the sukshma sharira and the karana sharira, is called taijasaha. Taijasaha iti uchyate. Taijasaha means an effulgent one. Tejo maya antakarana vritti rupatvat. Swami says, because of having the form, the rupa, of the antakarana vritti, of the mental modifications, tejo maya, which are effulgent. It's just a made of light, made of a consciousness, made of dream stuff. And note here that, as I mentioned before, we are only bhoktas in dream. We are not kartas. We are not agents. We are only experiencers of what of what is going on. And the difference between Vishwa and Taijasa is not the individual, but it's the instruments through which these experiences are being gathered. Through the instruments of the senses, I experience Shabda, etc., this physical world. Through the remembrance, through this projection in the dream world, I experience dream objects. And so it's the instrumentation that differentiates the two. It's not that the person is actually different. The the karta, and since the witness, the one who lends consciousness to each of those experiences, the waking and the dreaming experience, that is the same Atma. Now, notice that this is not dream analysis. There's something to be said about dream analysis. To understand the nature of the self, to understand that I am the sakshi to all experiences, whether it be a waking or a dream experience, I am the witness of all that, meaning that I am not that. I am shuddha. I'm nitya shuddha. I'm always pure. I'm always unsullied. I'm always awake, if you will. I have no eyelids. Atma has no eyelids. But there's something to be said about looking a little closer at this dream experience that we have. Because when we go into dream sleep, and again, this is just one model. There's other models, other psychological models of what it means to dream. But notice that it's the chittam. It's the memory. The world is projected from previous experiences in the waking state. And sometimes that may seem a little simplistic. Well, I don't just regurgitate what I saw in the waking state. So how is it that certain experiences come to light in the dream state? It's all based on chittam, which is part of the manas, which is the seat of emotion and memory. Chittam is memory. Manas is the seat of emotions as well. Chittam is the seat of the unconscious. So this is veering away a bit from traditional Vedanta, but I know of teachers who use Jungian approach to dream analysis to help understand perhaps some pratibandhas, some obstacles that may be preventing us from fully realizing the phalam of this jnana, the fruit of this knowledge. Because we often as individuals, due to previous experiences, have knots, emotional knots, which cause us to react to the world in very unconscious ways. And as alert as we may try to be to these triggering events, this reactiveness, sometimes it seems almost impossible to catch them. With abhyasa, you can catch this reactive mind and bring to bear the buddhi, which gives us the capacity to make a choice as to how we react, and that is dhamma, having the choice to act rather than react. We still may still have this emotional trigger. Eventually, this emotional reaction will diminish in frequency, in intensity, and duration through alertness, through living an alert mind and having a value for being gentle with oneself, being compassionate for oneself, being compassionate to realize that, as I said in meditation, this reactivity, this reactive mind is behaving in accordance with the laws of the world, with the laws of psychology, with the laws of the heart, with Ishvara's laws. Sometimes looking at one's emotional response to dreams, the details of dreams, is a useful activity. Active imagination can be done actually in meditation through a dialogue with the mind, as we just barely briefly started today, to dialogue with the mind and listen to what the mind has to say. There's a similar sort of relationship, a similar sort of alertness, understanding you can gain by looking at what the dream presents. Because why would certain dreams happen at a certain time? Sometimes it doesn't make any sense. I had a dream last night that I took a job as a barista in a coffee shop. And I kept thinking, why am I doing this? I don't want to waste my time making coffee for people. Maybe I haven't analyzed it enough. But sometimes very powerful dreams is useful because it's the seat of the unconscious. And during dreams, that unconscious has the ability to project these worlds that we live in. And perhaps they're assembled into dream experiences in a way that can shed light on how we may be feeling in ways we don't fully understand in our conscious waking state. But the other thing that's very worthwhile looking at from a dream perspective, and again, this is very Vedantic, but it's not the tatparya here. The tatparya here is just to say that Atma is the sakshi of each of these states. But when you look at dream, what do we experience in a dream? We experience an entire prapancha, an entire creation. When I have a dream, let's say that I'm walking down a dirt path in a meadow, I see trees, I see the meadow, I see grass, I see this body. I'm come to this creation fully formed. In that dream, I have a personal history. There's a past. In that dream, I have anticipation about the future within that dream time. There's dream space, there's dream three-dimensionality. And it's not like a movie screen, it's not even like a funky 3D sort of movie. It's real. When I'm in a dream, unless I'm in some sort of lucid dreaming state, which is a whole other topic, it's all real. I'm experiencing that. The fright I feel when I'm falling, I'm feeling that. The joy you feel flying in your flying dreams is just extraordinary. The beauty you see in a meadow in your dream, you feel that real emotion because you see these real, you have these real experiences. And there could be other people in your dream, and they could be walking along, let's say. So what's the cause of that dream? He's saying here, okay, well, the cause for the specifics of that dream are your previous experiences in the waking state. Okay, that's given. But what's the nimitta upadana karanam? If you remember when we talked about Ishvara, when we talked about adhishtatra devatas, when we talked about adhishtana devatas, remember we said like the Surya is the devata of the eyes. From a perspective of a specific function in the creation, vis-a-vis the individual, we can look at the Lord through certain devatas, for example, Surya or Vayu. And when in that conversation, we introduced the term abhinna nimitta upadana karanam. The cause, Ishwaraha, is the cause, the karanam, which is nimitta and upadanam, which is the instrumental and material cause, which is not separate from the creation. Like a pot maker is the nimitta karanam, is the instrumental, the conscious being that creates this. The upadana karanam is the material out of which this is created, the clay to the pot. And the clay is not separate from the creation. It's abhinna. It's not separate. So let's look at the dream. Who's the nimitta karana for the dream? Who's the instrumental cause? I am. My mind is the maker of this entire dream creation. What is the upadana karanam? What is the material out of which this meadow and these people and the sun and these trees in my dream, what are they made out of? They're made out of consciousness. They're made out of existent consciousness, which is me. I am the Ishvara of my dreams. I am the nimitta abhinna, the non-separate nimitta, instrumental, abhinna nimitta upadana, material, karana, cause, jagataha, swapna jagataha, of the dream world. That's me. Is that material, is that dream creation separate from me? No. Does it have any existence apart from me? No. What is its true nature? It's nama rupa. It is just name and form. And yet, in my experience, it feels real. I experience it as real. Is it real? It's just a dream. It's dismissible as a dream. Maybe I have a second dream, right? Where I'm walking down the streets of New York City. It displaces the first dream. That first dream is long gone. This new dream is real, and I'm experiencing going down an elevator or something. Back to the meadow, it's nicer. So let's say in my dream, I have a dream guru. The Swami comes and says, hey, look, I have something to show you. Hey, over here. Put aside for a moment your dream aspirations. Put aside for a moment your dream desires. Forget that you have these notions of dream limitations. You, Tat Tuamasi, you are the truth of this entire creation. And I have a body, I have a form. In my dream, I'm an individual. How can I be the truth of this entire dream? There's no way. And in fact, the Swami, my dream Swami says, in fact, the consciousness that each of these people experience in this reality is nothing but you. There's no difference between your consciousness and their consciousness, because in fact, there's nothing here but consciousness. The existence of the tree, the existence of the ground, the existence of this body, the existence of those people is one homogeneous, non-differentiated existence. And that is you. You are equal to the truth of this entire dream world. Muktoham. In the dream, I am free now. I'm a sleeping, instead of a jiva, muktaha. I'm swapan muktaha. I'm dreaming and I'm free. Swamiji said sometime back that the dream is the Achilles heel of the creation because it presents a real life experience which so beautifully illustrates the fragility of our assumption that this world is real and I am a separate being that inhabits this world. Because I am the Ishvara of the dream. Every individual in that dream is not separate from me, Bhagavan, the Upadana Nimitta Karanam of that creation. It's just Nama Rupa. Now look at the waking state. How different is it? How can I possibly say that I am different from the nimitta, abhinna nimitta upadana karana jagataha of this entire creation? Well, you know, this dream is only personal and this is a shared experience. That seems to be true. Some might argue. You can point to something and I can point to something and we both call it by the same name. And we seem to have a common experience here. But ontologically, in terms of its truth, in terms of its cause as well, how much difference is there between the dream world and this world? In our experience, when we get hit by a dream brick on the top of the head, it feels as real as being hit by a waking brick on top of my waking head. The fear I feel because of an elephant running towards me in a dream is the same fear I feel if I have an elephant running towards me in the waking state. The experiences are not that different. Which is not to say that this is a purely subjective world, that there's no objective shared experience here, but it does help us question and look at reality quite differently. Because that reality, that experience, that non-shared, that personal experience is just as real to me in its own time as this is. So that statement I made about in its own time, the dream seems to be real. So kale satyavat bhati, a dream, the dream projection, swakale, in its own time, satyavat, bhati, appears to be satyavat, real. But prabodhe sati, when one awakens, asat bhavet, it proves to be untrue, that is the same that one can say about this waking experience. When I awaken to the truth of this world, which I took to be real, upon analysis, in the wake of jnanam, in the wake of knowledge, it proves, when I awaken, it proves to not be real as I took it to be. I see it all as mithya. I see it all as Bhagavan. I see it all as grace. I see it all as me. That's the vision here. Tattvamasi means I am the truth, just like aham brahmasmi. I am the Brahman of this dream world. This person that I look at is not separate from me on any level. That dream stula sharira is part of the stula dream stula prapancha. That sukshma sharira in the dream is part of the sukshma prapancha. That physical body is part of the physical universe in that dream. That individuals, including my own sukshma experience, personal emotions and thoughts within that dream, are part of the entirety, the samashti, the totality of Hiranyagarbha, of the subtle world in that dream. And I am the very existence and consciousness which not only illumines that dream, but is the very cause of it. So that is Maya Shakti. That is, remember we talked about avidya and maya? In a sense, you could say that for an individual, that is avidya. That is, I have the ability to go to sleep and then dream and project this apparent dream world and become an Ishvara to my own dream. Ishvara, through Maya Shakti, in the very same way, if you will, projects this entire creation. Ishvara's relationship with this creation is very analogous, let's say, to my relationship with a dream experience, with a dream creation, a dream prapancha, in terms of reality, in terms of cause. I am the truth of that dream world through and through. And when I wake up, I see it wasn't what it appeared to be. It was namarupa. It was time-bound. It wasn't substantial. It was just me. So too, prabodha samaye, when I awaken here, I see that I am the truth of all this. Very interesting, looking at dream. Let's stop there. We can finish up the deep sleep state. He says here, the deep sleep state is that in which there is snoring. So that should be very interesting. Just kidding. Let's take a moment. Om swasti prajabhyav paripalayantam nyayena margena mahimahishaha go brahmanebhyah shubhamastu nityam loka samasta sukhino bhavantu kale varshatu parjanyah prithivi sasya shalini desho yancho barahitah brahmana santu nirbhayah om sarve bhavantu sukhinah sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kashchit dukkha bhag bhavet, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amritangamaya, om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate, purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vishishyate, Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Om Tat Sat Sarvam Ishvarar Pramastu. I love that that swapna imagery, that was something Radha talks about a lot, Carol Whitfield. Very beautiful example of creation.
So refreshing. No, really, the class, I have to say. I mean, sometimes it's just hard. And all the, you know, coming from a corporate politics, and to be able to think, you know, all that is Bhagavan, is Ishwara, is sometimes hard.
It's very hard because there's so many things to do and our roles are so consuming and we have so many responsibilities and we need to take them seriously, but we often don't need to take them as seriously as we do.
Right.
But I know, as a man, you know, I used to be a manager at Hewlett Packard, and it was very difficult, the challenge, because you had so many expectations and placed upon you, and you had so many expectations of people who worked for you, and you had to give things a lot of thought. You had to be very deliberate and conscientious, and you had expectations about how things should be going, and you had the time pressure to make those things happen. And then when those didn't happen, then you had to spend all that much more time reevaluating and replanning and rejiggering the whole thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know the pressures of corporate America are just astonishing. When you think of life, like when Shankara was around, you know, what they gave up in sannyasa,
mm-hmm.
you know, they gave up, they lived much simpler lives. The enjoyments, right? Look at all of our distractions. Look at our enjoyments, you know, every experience. Oh, when you take sannyasa back in the day, what you gave up, secure, a lot of security of home and family and
yeah.
son and everything. But you didn't give up your, didn't have to give up your 56-inch television set and, you know, all the food you could possibly eat of all different types. But you also didn't live in such a stressful world. So, I mean, it's so compressed. Our experiences are just so tightly compressed that we often don't have time just to stop and think and take a breath. I remember having long conversation with Swami Vidyadatmanandaji about the pressures of corporate life and how difficult it was not to get angry at situations which weren't
yes,
going my way.
That part is yeah. Is. But you know, this whole experience, I think recently, I have to say, it's actually taught me a lot, and that I, you know, I've been able to, I feel like, you know, just the distance from whatever is happening and being able to let go. So, you know, it's, because you worked so hard for something, but it's, you know, just all of that is sort of transferred to somebody else, and you're just, okay, you let
yeah.
go. I actually felt, just driving back home today, sort of the end of the transition.
Mm.
I felt it's kind of a, you know, just release from everything, freedom. No, let it go, feeling free.
It's very freeing. And you know, we get married to our specific projects and responsibilities in corporate life.
Yes.
And the corporation doesn't really care. You know, I mean, the corporation can just pluck you here and
yeah.
put you over here. In fact, what is the term they use? They use fungible. Fungible resources. You are a fungible resource.
Yeah.
Have you heard that term? Yeah, you're completely replaceable and completely movable. You're just like a, you know, a cog in the wheel, and that, you know, it's your problem if you get married to your project, because that project can get canceled like that. And it's like, oh, well, Tathastu, there it is. It's all mitya.
Outstanding. It was very helpful, actually. And then I was thinking, really, the teaching is very helpful in, you know, handling all these
yeah.
situations, are providing, as Swamiji says, the cushion.
Yeah.
Things just.
And it helps to remember that.
Down.
Yeah, it helps to remember that we're playing roles.
Exactly.
And that we don't need to be wedded to our roles, you know.
Yeah.
But it's quite a balancing act to give things as much attention as they need to properly accomplish something and yet not be married to it. That's
yes.
the sadhana. That's karma yoga. It's, you know, it's the fire of corporate sadhana, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Oh, you described that very well.
Well, I've been there, done that. So.
Yeah, I should keep that in mind.
Om Tat Sat.